You're listening to The Art of Imperfect Adulting. I'm your host, Amy Stone. Here, I share stories from real people navigating the adventure that I call adulting. Are you ready? Me too. Let's do this. Hello, hello, friends. In this episode, I'm going to introduce you to Lola McLean. Now, if I have to categorize this story and the choices that we're talking about, I think that I would check the box of career change. But really, this story is much more than that. And so there is a moment in time where Lola's personal lived experience and what she was experiencing in her own life and her own body intersected with her professional life and her professional training. And she actually had to reconcile, come to terms with the fact that the reality was that her professional training was offering her a solution for herself that she had to admit didn't work for her. And that's a tough thing to work through. It really is. So we talk about her professional training, how she got to the point where she was questioning it, what was going on in her life at that time, how she actually went about finding solutions, what happened, and then what those solutions turned out to mean for the decisions she made about her own career and future. So I've just managed to describe this entire interview without telling you anything about what it's actually about. Do you have a guess? Do you have a guess what we're going to talk about? Let's see if you're correct. It's time. Let's do this. Lola McLean, welcome to The Art of Imperfect Adulting. I'm happy you're here. Are you ready for a fun chat?
I am so excited, Amy. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm happy you're here. I start all of my conversations asking my new guests and friends what part of the world they call home. So tell me where you are.
I am out in Oregon in the heart of wine country.
Very good. I have a coming up Oregon connection. Is that the Willamette Valley?
Yep, Willamette Valley.
Willamette Valley. See, I don't say it.
Yeah, Willamette, damn it.
I will try and put that in my memory. All right, I could talk to you about Oregon all day, but I won't. In a second, we're going to start the topic. We're going to get this down to business. But I want to ask you, we do say, there's a saying, laughter is the best medicine. What's something that you can count on in your life to bring laughter into your days?
That is absolutely a true statement. Laughter is a wonderful form of medicine. And for me, my daughter is definitely a source of laughter. Every single day, she's super creative and has all these little weird isms and things that pop up and just, I don't know. They spark a lot of joy.
Very good. How old is she?
She's 5. Getting ready to go into kindergarten. Yeah. It's like all the things that come from her mouth. I'm like, what in the world?
Such a great age. I love when they're still into the inventive play and the dress up and the costumes. It's fun. It's a fun age. It really
absolutely.
Is. So kindergarten can be really super cute. It's also a major shift. Starting school is a big shift. All right. So not the topic of the day, kindergarten and how it messes up their schedule. So the topic of the day. Okay. So there's a couple of ways I thought about describing this when I was writing this out. I could think of it as a career change, right? That's definitely kind of what it is. I think it's also maybe a little bit of an ideology shift that you may have gone through. Mm-hmm. And this is a story of when you were working as a nurse in the medical system, but you were a patient and what you were trying wasn't working for you. So my first question is, how old were you? It's backing way up in time. How old were you when you decided that you wanted to become a nurse?
So I was probably 19 or 20 when I decided I wanted to become a nurse. I had always wanted to be in medicine, or like the idea of medicine. And I shadowed a whole lot of different people and finally decided like nursing was probably what most aligned with, at that time, my ideals and what I wanted to be when I grew up.
Yeah, very good. Were you already in higher education, like in college when this happened, or were you? Okay. So
yeah, I was already in college. I was doing the pre-med track and just doing all the shadowing. I was like, ooh, I don't think I want to be a physician, but I still want to do like what they do to an extent, right? Just a different viewpoint.
Absolutely. All right. So you have a furry friend in your space there. I saw them scamper by. All right. So
She just buzzed in, but she's going to be quiet now. She's going to go
so she's
to
welcome. She's part of the crew today. All right. So, I think that a lot of people who are listening and watching will already know that it's not like you wave a magic wand and you get to be a nurse in the US. It's not a super fast process. It's actually really pretty rigorous. So, can you take a minute and walk us through just the high level of what the training is so that we know what you did, because I'm going through this with my mind. I'm thinking this was a traditional Western medicine education for nursing.
What my route was, which is a little bit different than kind of the standard, like, oh, I go to college for nursing. So I went to college, got a degree in psychology and biology. Then we moved out west, and I ended up going to an accelerated
Okay.
bachelor's program for nursing. So I already had a bachelor's degree, got a second bachelor's degree in nursing, and basically it's like a 2-year intensive program where you do all of the nursing things, right? And it's a lot of anatomy and physiology, a lot of just like the science behind different diseases and how you, because as a nurse, there is this weird mesh where it's like you have to be at the level of the physician and like the understanding and things that way, and be able to like give that to the patient and also like be the in between, between the two, right?
Yeah.
And kind of the bridge. So speaking both languages and also looking out for different things with a patient. Then after that, so I worked for about 7 years as a nurse in the operating room and ended up going back to school to get my nurse practitioner's degree. And that was at the doctoral level. So that
Okay.
was 4 years of additional education, not only in like biomedical sciences, but then also in like research translation and all of that. And then worked in the primary care world for a good 6 years as a nurse practitioner.
Wow. All right. I am so glad I asked, because that's a ton of education,
It was a long
for
journey.
that. A long journey. Absolutely. So let's talk a little bit, because you said you always knew you were interested in medicine, or since you were very young. What drew you? What did you like about it? And what drew you to the medical field and nursing specifically?
Yeah, I always have loved science and I've loved just knowing why things happen or how things work or, you know, definitely the why behind it, but also like how that impacts us on a human level, right? So like why you're feeling a certain way and how that shapes what you're doing in your day to day, or if you have a disease, how that impacts your day to day and how you go about it. I think it was like second or third grade when I first was introduced, you know, outside of going to doctor's visits for like the wellness child thing. One of my friend's dads was a cardiologist, and I remember him coming to talk to our class about what he did and just like his description of the heart and how it works and like what it does and how it impacts everything. I was just like, oh my gosh, I love this. I want to know more about all of the stuff inside of us. And so that kind of pushed me into that.
That is amazing. A vote for career day at school.
Yes,
The
absolutely.
like you know the parents you know parents come and talk about what they do. Do you have anybody in your family who was in science and medicine?
No, my
Okay.
family is not medical at all. So my dad, I don't really, I mean, I know what he did, but not really. He's a banker of some sorts, right? Did
Okay.
something with
Finance,
investing.
sure.
Yeah, finance something. And then my mom was an interior decorator. Most of my family is very creative, does like art stuff, music stuff. So yeah, not a whole lot of science in there.
All right, so like you were the first one that came and was like, I'm gonna be a doctor. It happens in every family. I've got one in my family where the person's like, this is what I want to do, and we're like, wow, where did that come from? Not medicine, but something else. So at some point you go through a personal journey yourself where you are developing, I'm gonna call it digestive issues. You can talk about this however you're comfortable with it. On the intake form, you describe it as IBS, which is short for irritable bowel syndrome. When did this show up? When were you diagnosed? Talk a little bit about what you were going through yourself.
Yeah, so this is also kind of another like lifelong journey, and now like reflecting back on it, being like, oh, this is what was happening way back when, right? So definitely like childhood, I struggled a lot with digestive issues, primarily constipation and like bloating and just like uncomfortableness. But then, that like, not that it was normal, but it just got kind of played as a normal,
Well,
right? And
sure. I mean, normal is such a moving target that, and especially if you have something from when you are a kid, then you don't even realize. Like, so I'll give my example of this is like we have one kid who's highly allergic, and when he was little, the dermatologist was like, "Hey, stop using dryer sheet products in your house." And my husband was like, "Oh, look, my skin looks different." Like, so he was a full-blown adult, had no idea that his body was reacting to the chemicals and that it was his normal. And so, and then something had to change. So anyway, sorry, I totally interrupted you. I apologize. But, I do think that it's especially when something starts when we're young or when something changes very slowly, it's easy to be hard on ourselves for not noticing, but normal is a moving target.
Yeah, absolutely. And that, like, if we're not told what ideal kind of is, like, and that's a big conversation around like bowel movements and stuff. Nobody really knows what normal is oftentimes or what ideal is.
Sure,
So
I don't.
our
I'm sure I
normal,
don't.
yeah, our normal is one thing. And then there's also like common normal, and then there's ideal, right? So definitely those moving targets. But yeah, so it had started back in childhood, and then, just kind of like not a big deal. It was my normal. I just dealt with it. College, some anxiety started coming on. Things got a little bit worse, but whatever, that's normal. A lot of my friends had the same issues. Like the doctor didn't seem to care whenever I brought it up, so it wasn't a big deal. And then fast forward to, I have to do math. I think I was 33 when my daughter was born. So right after she was born, and it was also right at the beginning of the COVID pandemic, so that March 2020, right? Wonderful. So she was born, that happened. There was this huge shift with just how my work was as a primary care provider during that time. And everything just really came to a head. Like my anxiety was very, very bad and out of, like, I think it was out of control. The people around me were like, oh, you never know. You keep it so well grounded. Like, it's okay. But it was out of control for me. Like, I hadn't pooped in like a solid week. I went to go see my doctor, and she's like, oh, it's IBS, irritable bowel syndrome. You know what this is. You know how to handle it. We're going to give you a medication to help with the anxiety, which will also help your bowel movements. You need more fiber. You need to drink water, and you need to work on your stress. And I was like, yes, I know that those are all the things that we tell people, because I'd also had that conversation with people so many times around irritable bowel syndrome. And I also knew, unfortunately, from all those conversations, it doesn't work that way, right? Like, I'd always have clients come back that are like, well, I've done these things. Now what? I've done the low FODMAP diet. Now what? It's not getting better. Now what? And just going, oh, I don't know. This is how we do it in conventional medicine. So that prompted me to like completely switch and go deeper and find like, why is this going on? What can I do? Because I don't want to go down this road. This is going to be a forever thing, and I don't like this.
That is really interesting. Okay, so you also say that you were, and maybe you've already touched on this under the vocabulary of anxiety, but you say you were experiencing burnout. So different from IBS, which has like a pretty definitive like diagnosis. Burnout is kind of like a catch-all phrase that people use in a lot of different ways, right? I'm sure there's somebody out there that will come back to me and be like, "No, burnout is specifically XYZ," which is fine. Like I just I honor that you were correct, right? Share with us though what you say when you say you were experiencing, what you mean when you say you were experiencing burnout. And I think that, through the lens of it's easy to poo-poo this through the lens of, oh, the lockdown was happening and we were all going through this, but I don't know. I have to figure out the math. An enormous amount of the stories I tell still involve a component of lockdown bringing stuff up. So what do you mean when you say you were experiencing burnout?
Yeah, so for me, and I think you're right, it is kind of a catch-all term for a lot of people, but for me, it really was this huge shift in how I was able to show up for myself and for others, right? Like I felt completely drained. And it wasn't just the, oh, you're a new mom kind of drained. It was like, I have no enjoyment in my work anymore. I don't want to be doing this. I don't want to be here with these people or doing these things. A lot of times it would come out as like just anger and frustration and annoyance with just everyday stuff, right? I think also just that, because burnout tends to bring up a lot of anxiety and depression for people too, right? And that definitely was something that was going on during that time for me. And it wasn't, because also, you know, like just in that medical world, it's like, oh, well, postpartum, it wasn't postpartum, right? Like this was a solid few months, like months to a year after Maddie had been born. So like after that postpartum piece,
And
and it was
postpartum
just,
is a like it could like you know listen Eddie it could have been postpartum and postpartum is a very serious thing but one of the things that I poke fun at and I have a Western doctor so I poke fun at the Western medical system because when you're a woman in the medical system it is like depending on your age it is always one of three things is
Hormones.
the first thing it's like well are you pregnant right you know like it's like right and then once you've been pregnant well it could be postpartum right then once you hit like 40 it's like could you be menopausal and it's like hey listen there's a lot of other parts of my body here like can we believe like not everything is I mean a lot of things are but like it is a crazy thing about going to just being involved in the medical system as a woman it's like well we'll check for all of these things and otherwise it must be fine it's normal
Yeah, it's
like
normal.
it's
It's
oh
normal,
God
right? We run the labs and it's normal. And to that, like, yeah, it's all very much interrelated. Like, yeah,
yeah
there probably is a basis around the hormones, right?
sure
But also, like, you know, if, yeah, my estrogen progesterone levels are crazy, but my cortisol levels or that stress hormone level is way up, you know, that's wonking it out. And then you've got blood sugar dysregulation because you've got the cortisol
Yeah.
elevated and it's all impacting how you're digesting stuff. And it's just, it's all very tangled.
Very
So
tangled.
focusing
No,
on just one piece
absolutely.
is hard.
Yeah. So I spent a long time like sort of walking you foundation through the foundation of this shift because I don't think in 2025 it's all that revolutionary or controversial that people, individuals, will do some self-diagnosis and research with the online tools and things like that. But when they have symptoms and so on and so forth, especially when the doctor's office is not open, like we hit Dr. Google because no one is there to ask. But your journey took you on a path to leave traditional medicine or Western medicine, and that's actually not something that I hear every day that somebody spent so much time being professionally involved in that and then diverted a teeny tiny bit. So before we talk about the details about that. And why and how and what it meant for you and all of those things. I want to go back to when you, somewhere between like third grade and 21, when you were picking nursing, had you ever heard of anything other than Western medicine at all? Like, did you know about functional medicine? Did you consider going to acupuncture school? Like, were you aware of this or not at all?
So growing up in the South States, like primarily Georgia and North Carolina, absolutely not.
So I think that's a
There,
really interesting thing to think about, right?
there was, I'd never heard of acupuncture or Chinese medicine. I'd never heard of a naturopath. I remember like in late high school, early college, people were talking about a DO. And that was something that actually was kind of like the butt of a lot of medical jokes. Like, oh, well, they went to DO school because they couldn't crack it. And so I was like, oh, I don't want to do that, you know, kind of a
Oh, so there's
thing.
layers of this then. Yeah.
So, yeah. And there weren't even like nurse practitioners or really physician's assistants in the realm that I was in. They were more in the hospital. So, yeah, had not heard a whole lot of other modalities.
That is really interesting. Okay, I think this is a good place for me to take a quick little break and speak directly to the audience. So for all of the episodes, I'm posting discussion questions there. So I'm talking to Lola about her personal health journey and a shift to functional medicine is what we're talking about. So if you're listening and watching, head over to the YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and you'll find a discussion question. You can join the conversation. I'll be there. Maybe Lola will be there. Other people in the Imperfect Adulting community will be there in the comments. It's lots of fun. And if you're not already following the show on social media, the links will be in the show notes, of course. All right, Lola, picking up where we left off. So we were talking about the fact that you could not have made this choice when you were 20 because you didn't even know it was an option. And I think that's really interesting because we're talking about you making personal choices for your health. We can only make decisions based on the information that we have. You have IBS, you have burnout, you're working as a nurse. Do you remember what's the first thing, like the earliest thing that sort of you discover about functional medicine, or the first little sort of veer off the path that you were on?
Yeah, so one, it was before I saw my doctor, I think probably 2019-ish. So I had been working with a patient who had IBS, and like she was super frustrated because she had been to the gastroenterologist. She was tired of me saying, well, you know, here's the low FODMAP diet, here's what I can do. The gastro saying nothing's wrong, your labs are normal. And I felt so sad because I didn't have an answer for her. And so that was kind of my first jump into it. I started searching for like, well, how are other people taking care of this, or what other things are out there for this? And functional medicine was something that popped up. So at that time, that was something she and I were talking about, was like, well, let's find you somebody like this to do this work with you, right? To see how things are going. And she, because we do live in Oregon, you know, we have access to Portland, which is of cities of cities. It's a little bit more into that functional medicine, acupuncture, Eastern medicine kind of stuff, right?
Yeah, it so does have that reputation. It does.
Yeah. So keep it weird, right? So she had access to that, which was really great for me to be able to refer her out and then to see some of the things that she came back with, right? And how much she was able to change over that year as we were working together.
That is really interesting. If I had to guess what your answer would have been, it wouldn't have been that. Okay, so you've mentioned something at least more than once that I want to give you a chance to explain to anybody who doesn't know what it means, which is the FODMAP diet. So explain what that is for people who are listening who are like, wait, what is that? What is that?
Yeah. So for a lot of people who have IBS or irritable bowel syndrome, one of the first things we'll recommend, especially in that Western medicine world, is something called a low FODMAP diet. And basically what you're doing is you're taking out or lessening certain foods that have sugars in them that are fermentable, right? So when you eat different things, like apples is a big one, right? You eat an apple, the bacteria inside of your gut will break it down and produce a gas. And so that leads to a lot of bloating, discomfort, and things like that. And the thought is people with IBS don't tolerate those particular foods well. And so if you take them away, then it gets rid of their symptoms, which is not, I mean, for some people it's true, for most people it's not.
All right. So the foods have to be fermentable. So first you have to learn about which of the foods are fermentable, and then you have to reduce them. All right. So that's the low FODMAP diet. Thank you for explaining that. I had heard of it, but I don't think I knew that that's what it was. All right. So like a lot of people, part of your transformation story is actually your personal involvement. So you shared the story of working with a client as a health practitioner and seeing what they did. But part of your story is healing yourself. You say you healed yourself from the inside out. Share with us some of what you did to heal and how you feel today.
Yeah. So I think having watched her go through that, then when I got that same message from my doctor, I was like, oh no, there is a different way. Let me go do this. And so I too jumped down that functional medicine rabbit hole. And I did some comprehensive stool testing, right? Which actually looks at the microbiome and what is going on with our digestion. And that really, like on my end, gave a whole lot of clarity and insight, right? Like, I had high levels of a certain bacteria called H. pylori, which lowers your stomach acid. And so then at that point, it's like I wasn't really absorbing a whole lot of things that I was eating. It has shifted the composition of my microbiome. So then when I was eating things, I was getting bloated. I was having a lot of constipation. I was having a lot of just like digestive issues because I wasn't digesting my food all the way, right? And so having that and then being able to make a plan specifically to address those imbalances, right, with some very specific nutritional changes, with at that time I did a few very specific supplements, which I'm not doing anymore. And that targeted therapy that really helped me, right? But a big part of it was also working on my mindset and really working on, okay, how does this impact my digestion too, right?
And is that the connection or the tie-in? Connection might be too strong a word, but the tie-in between burnout and the IBS and the functional medicine journey.
Yeah, so definitely one big piece with digestion is how much of it is impacted by our brain, right? Like we have that gut brain axis, which is kind of vogue right now, right?
It is, but it is so interesting because I had never, I mean, listen, like I'm 51, so the first time I heard of probiotics was a very long time ago, but I will admit that like the first few times people suggested, the gut was a source of like immunohealth and all those things. It sounds like if you've grown up in a very westernized medical context, it's like, what? I don't know, like whatever. But at the same time, like people that are like my parents' age and stuff like that, they knew from the beginning that things like antibiotics, there was old school wives' tale medicine, have yogurt when you're taking antibiotics, right? So, or that beer is healthy and all these things that introduce like fermented cultures. So I can go both ways, but yeah, now it does seem like it's very vogue. And it's a fun thing to see that things that were like sort of poo-pooed, like crazy, off the wall stuff 15 years ago, there's like actual hardcore like research that's coming out that's like, oh my gosh, no, these parts of our body do talk to each other. So I don't know.
Absolutely.
I like to see when modern science validates, what were seemingly thought of as kooky ideas. I find that enjoyable. I don't know. Just as an entertainment thing. All right, so the connection between the brain and the gut biome becomes a part of this. You don't all right, so we're talking about now functional medicine, and we've thrown that word around a little bit, and you also, I think, brought up a naturopath. Tell us a little bit about what that means and how it's different from what you studied in all of your various Western medical education.
Yeah, so functional medicine, it's not super new. I mean, it's been around for probably 20-ish years now. And the concept or the premise behind it is really going from managing symptoms, right? So like that's kind of what we do in the Western world is like you have a headache, here's the pill to fix it. You have a broken bone, let's fix it. You have, these digestive troubles, let's fix it, right? We're going to just band-aid it. We're going to stop the symptom. With functional medicine, and that's not wrong, right? Like we definitely need that. We need to do those for certain things,
When you
right?
break your
Absolutely.
bone, you do
Yeah,
want to
we need to
fix
fix
it.
it. You have a heart attack. We need to address it,
If you have
but
a
these
hole in
are,
your body, you need stitches.
yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So nothing wrong with that. And if that's the kind of thinking that works well for you, also nothing wrong with that. But with functional medicine, the idea is that we go a little bit above that, right? We kind of go upstream. We get, or the other way people will describe it is getting to the root cause, right? So, like, why do you have that headache, right? Is it you're stressed out? Is it low magnesium? Is it an allergen? Is it like we got to explore why and then kind of tackling the why behind it, right? So, like with IBS. Like, okay, great. You're bloated. You have either constipation or diarrhea or both. But why? Is it a food allergy? Is it enhanced intestinal permeability? Is it a shift in the gut microbiome? Is it a huge amount of stress all at once that is impacting that gut brain axis? Like, What is it, right?
Yeah. Yeah. No, thank you very, very much. All right. So I jumped forward. I was so excited about the gut biome that I forgot to let you finish an answer before, but I'm going to bring it back because I think it's actually pretty important. How do you feel today? And how long ago, like how long have you been feeling better?
Yeah, so I really, again, so this was 2020. And when I started working on this specifically, 2020, 2021, probably a full year of really honing in on what was going on and really like focused on my nutrition, my lifestyle, why I was doing these things, right? Like, because that's the other thing with functional medicine is it's a lot of small sustainable changes, right, that take time. So since 2021, that's kind of been my new normal. So the past 4 years now, a lot like almost night and day, right? Like definitely way less anxiety, way better moods. I have very regular bowel movements, just in case anybody was wondering. Stellar. No bloating, just like able to digest not only foods, but also life. Right. And it really is. It's almost like clouds lifted, kind of a thing. Right.
That's amazing. That's really, really good. It is a thing that we don't, it's so funny because it is a thing that people don't often talk about, like bowel movements and digestion. And in certain circles, it would be, impolite to speak about. But on the other hand, it is a thing that we all do, for people who sometimes it just amazes me. Like that, I'm not a person who's very modest about like bodily functions and stuff like that. And sometimes I'm wondering, I'm like, why? Well, why would we be? And a good friend of mine just wrote a book, a children's book about dinosaurs and boogers. And the tagline is, he says it's not funny, but it's snot. And it's for little kids, and it's so funny. It's just so funny because it is funny. It is fu It's funny. It can be funny.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right. I'm off target. I'm totally
I will
off
have to check
target.
that out though, because that sounds like five-year-old ideas.
That is exactly the age group. And there's another kids book that's been around forever, which is The Gas We Pass, which is also very, very funny. It's all like anyway. I mean, it's animals and it's farts. There's no way to go wrong with that with kids. So and adults. Like you read it to your kids, you laugh anyway. So you didn't just heal yourself though. You decided to change your career. And I think you go all in on functional medicine. Why did you make that change?
Yeah, I think really seeing what was possible, right? And finally having like a good answer for things. And so I went in on my functional medicine education, and there's a whole world out there other than just digestion. But that shifted my ideals, right? In the sense of like, okay, I don't need to just stop at the symptom. Like, there's so much more, and there's so much more that you can address when you get to the why. So that really reignited my whole curiosity, right? And that, like, that why does this do this? Why is this happening? And especially for each unique person, because your bloating is not the same as my bloating, right? Your headache is not the same as my headache. And even though it's a headache, there's differences between why they're there, And so in that moment, because that was also kind of like a process, right? A whole like year of, okay, do I want to do this? Do I not want to do this? How can I make this work with my current work? Is this going to work with my current work? How do I do this? And it really was. It was like, I can't do the conventional road anymore because I don't have that time with people. I don't have that way to address these things. I can't go upstream when I've got 15 minutes and you're asking me for a fix for this problem, right? So,
So there's layers to that because that's the next thing I wanted to talk to you about and ask you for your opinion. And because you are a person who's been on both sides of this, and I was curious what you thought about could they work together? And then when you told the story of as a Western practitioner, you actually did work with a client who was working with a functional medicine doctor. So what do you think about how they work together or how they sometimes don't? So what are your thoughts and opinions, just as experience and opinion, not guidance or advice?
Absolutely opinion. It depends on the practitioner, right? Like, I feel like as a practitioner, I was super open to other modalities, right? So if I had patients who were doing acupuncture, if I had patients who were doing things with a naturopath, or especially where we are, I had a lot of women who had thyroid issues who were working with a naturopath on their thyroid, right? Rather than the conventional road. So that is a big one. Is your provider open to it and accepting? And sometimes they are, and sometimes they're not, right? And so if that is the road you want to take, finding a provider who is open to other providers, right, is a big one. And it can totally work. It can totally work. Like, collaboration is a wonderful thing because we're not meant to know it all. We're not meant to be able to do it all. And so you need to be able to have other people in your boat, right? Especially when we're supporting someone on their health.
Yeah, no,
Yeah.
I mean, it seems as someone who's I'm not a professional in this at all, but it just seems as a so put me on the side of a client or a consumer, it's like you just kind of want all the people with all the hats
Yeah.
to do it. But I think that we are many of us, and I will put myself in this camp decidedly at certain times. Sometimes we really want an instant solution. It's like I am here for my Insta fix. When in my 20s, I once was calling a doctor for, I was very confident that I had a urinary tract infection. They're like, "Well, we can see you in a couple of days." And I was like, "I'm not sure you understand what's happening. I need to come right now. I'm in the lobby."
I
Like,
just need
see,
the antibiotic,
right,
please.
exactly. Like,
Yeah.
I'll write my own prescription, you know. Like, let me in. And so, but from my perspective, it seems like they should all work. But then where I live in Miami, Florida, there are definitely naturopaths and functional doctors, but it is not nearly have the reputation of being open-minded like Oregon does. And so I definitely think it is that. Although I will say thyroid, Hashimoto's, those kind of things, that is one of the very first places that I started to hear about it from, like people who were like, "Oh, even if you've been to your doctor before you do XYZ, go talk to,
You
you
should go
know."
talk to, yeah.
Right. And it was like a back channel conversation at like the smoothie shop or at pickup. It wasn't like, you know, so it was definitely there. All right. So in a minute, we're going to do the final questions. I want to give you a chance to speak directly to the audience, tell them what you do and how they can find more about you after this episode goes live.
Yeah, so I am basically calling myself a functional gut coach, right? And I work with women on long-standing digestive issues from that functional perspective. And so, you know, if you have IBS or SIBO or you're bloated or constipated or those kinds of things, right? I work with women on actually getting to the root cause of that, you know, and that looks different for everybody, and then creating a very customized plan so that way we can actually get you to a better state.
Very good. And the best way to reach you is at your website. And you can say, you don't have to spell it out. The link will be in the show notes. And for everybody who's listening, the easiest way to get the links is always to be a part of my email community because then I just email it to you and you can click. So if you're digging
Oh,
for a
awesome.
pen, if you're digging for a pen, you can stop, just sign up for the emails. But yeah, tell people where they can find you.
So my website is Heilan Empowered. And that actually comes from an old English word, Heilan, which is to heal or alleviate anxiety, right? And so that's kind of my roots, I guess, is old, like Scotland, England.
I love that.
So that was a cool thing for me. And then Instagram is also the other easiest way to find me. I do a lot of educational content on there, a lot of conversations, just lots of good stuff.
Awesome. All right. Very good. Lola, are you ready for the final three
I
questions?
think so.
Yeah. I'm trying to be more perky when I say that to people because it was like a little bit like dramatic and people are like, "I don't know," but they're not meant to be. They're not meant to be hard. They're meant to be fun. All right. So have you ever been to a concert, like a live music performance? And do you remember what was the first one that you remember attending?
So I haven't been for a very long time, actually, since we moved out of Atlanta, which was almost 20 years ago. The first one I went to was, I think, a Britney Spears concert.
Okay, there you go. I love this answer so much. I love that because it's a highlight of like such an earlier part of you. It's so funny to talk to people about it. Well, okay, the
I know. I'm
first
like, oh, I'm kind of
one.
embarrassed about that.
That would tell me it was who you were. Like we all have our first musical things
Yep.
that we
Yay,
do.
middle school. Yay,
And
middle school. Right. And then that also ages
exactly.
me and tells you a lot about probably my parents and what they
Yeah,
would
but we
allow.
get permission. We get permission to be kids. Like we don't, you have
Yep.
to go through the process of discovering what you like before you know.
Yeah.
And Britney Spears is a very
Yeah.
talented person. So there we go. All right. So what I wrote this, I must have had food on the brain because we were talking about digestion. Okay, what is a food that lots of people like? So we're just talking about enjoyment, not health or anything like that. But what's a food that lots of people like? Maybe people love it, and you're just like, no, I'm not ever going to eat that.
Oh, that's a really good question. Because I am very much like, I enjoy all the foods.
Okay, so
Yeah,
there's none that you're like, I do not like that
I'm
at
like,
all.
what's something that I definitely don't eat? And I don't know. Do you have
Okay.
any like spitballs? Like, what's something that you're like, oh, this is something I
Well, like, so
enjoy?
I don't like beets, like, because the same reason that
Oh, I
everybody
love
loves
beets.
beets,
Okay.
see, the same reason that everybody loves beets is the reason I don't like it. It's just I like, I mean, I know they're healthy, they're awesome, but people are like, oh, they're earthy. I'm like, I know, they
They
taste like
are.
dirt. That's why I don't eat them.
Oh, no, but with like some goat cheese and like a,
Yeah,
oh, I love beets. Yeah.
no, for me, it's a no. For me, like, that's it's like, and it's like, I love them for you. It's great. I will drink beet
Yep.
juice when I'm training for big races, and I respect it. I drink beet juice with 51% orange juice, so I can't actually taste the
Ooh,
beet
okay.
juice. So, but yeah, all right. So nothing. You eat everything. All right, very good. That
Pretty
was so
much,
very good.
yeah. I
That's
yeah,
good.
adventurous eater.
There you go. All right. For relaxation and entertainment, are you a person who turns to things like TV, movies, books, audiobooks, podcasts, music, or something else?
I am definitely more into the auditory stuff, right? So
Okay.
yes, podcasts, love turning on different music things if I'm like feeling way stressed out. So
All
yeah.
right, very good. What is so share with us other than this one, because you're
Of
obviously
course.
one of you, other than this one, what's like a podcast or an audiobook that you've listened to recently?
So podcast, Functional Nutritionist is a very good listen
Okay.
always. She's got a lot of really interesting things on there. And then a book on tape that I listened to really recently was, I think it's Breathe. It's either Breathe or Breath, by
Okay.
James Nestor. And that was
Oh,
a
yeah.
super interesting one. And I kind of want to actually get the book so I can read it. But yeah,
Yeah,
it was a
no,
good
that's the
listen.
thing. Sometimes you listen to an audiobook and you're like, I need to look at these pages. They did when one of my kids was younger, and because there was a whole thing with education a while back where they were like, no, you have to actually read it. You can't listen to it. Now we know it's roughly the same, right? But then there's other research that is like for the most absorption, if you like listen to it while you're reading the exact text at the same
Oh,
time,
cool. Yeah.
it's like super, which makes sense, right? Because then
Yeah.
everything's tuned in. You have to apply all of your focus. I've never met anybody who actually does this, but for anybody who wants to do it, that's apparently like the way to maximize your resources. It's like you're reading it, you're underlining, you're listening to it all at the same time. There's that's the way that to go all in on that. But like I said, I read that and I don't know anybody who's ever done that.
Yeah, that's a lot.
So. That's a lot. That's a lot. That's it. Lola McLean, thank you so much for being an amazing guest today on the show.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, Amy.
Thank you for listening today. I hope that you enjoy the show. And before I go, I want to encourage you to become a bigger part of the conversation. Obviously, subscribe wherever you're listening to the show. Listen to more episodes. That'd be great. Obvi again, please write a review and tell your friends about the show. That truly is a great help for getting the show in front of new people. Okay, but more fun for you yourself. Head over to imperfectadulting.com and join the email community. You'll get some free stuff right away, and that way you'll begin to get the emails about the podcast. This includes the links for the special offers from the guests, and it's the only way to get that. Also, if you aren't in the mood to listen, I actually include an article directly in those emails. Whee! Now, if you love this and you crave more time with me, Amy, as a coach, a mentor, or just adultier adult, numero uno, check out The Village. If you have a story you want to share with the listeners, I'd love to hear from you. I have an open application. Just let me know you want it. And that's a wrap for today. Until next time, remember, the journey is the destination. Ralph Waldo Emerson said that, not me. Well, until just now, I did just say it. But what I want you to hear today is that if your adulting journey isn't going the way you expected, that may not mean that you're lost. It may just mean that you're on your way. This is Amy Stone, signing off. The Imperfect Adulting Podcast is created and produced by Amy Stone and Amy Says So. Anything expressed on this show is offered as entertainment, and the views of the guests may not always represent the ideas and viewpoints of the host. That's me. Amy does not intend or hold herself out to provide professional advice or recommendations of any kind. In the end, you and you alone need to make those kinds of decisions based on your personal and individual situation, needs, circumstances, and comfort level.